Praise God. Father, I just want to thank you, Father God, for this morning. And I thank you, Father, the word that you've given, Lord, is from you. Nothing shall come from my lips, which is of the flesh or of my mind. Lord, I pray that this morning, whatever you speak, Lord, to your children. And I thank you, Father God, use, Lord, my mind, my lips and my tongue, my heart, my entire self to you for your glory. And I pray, Father God, that you'll take control from now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Last week we spoke about being cleansed. The one who can touch you to cleanse. Who is the one who can touch you to cleanse? Somebody asked me, Pastor, what did you speak today? I didn't understand. How many people understood my message last week? Amen. It's very few. That means I must say something about today. Okay? Last week we talked about a man who had leprosy. The crux of the message is, when you have leprosy, you are not healed. You will always have a mark in your body. A scar in your body will always remain. Is that right? There's nobody in this world who have seen who's got a leprosy and they are healed. They are whatever, the nose has come back, unless you do a plastic surgery. Every one of them in the Old Testament, you'll find cleansing. Leviticus, you'll find cleansing was the important thing that which was executed during the Old Testament time. In the New Testament too, Jesus said cleansed. The important thing that we realize in our life, we too are lepers in a way. We have got incidents in our life that scars us, that gives a dent in our life, that has got an impact in our life, that has made a mark in our life. So we carry on. We cannot change the situation. We cannot go back and undo the things that have been done wrong. But we can undo, we can be cleansed in our mind, in our spirit, of those things which are dented in our life. Amen? You got my message? First of all, people don't recognize they have a problem. Right? People, you got a problem? Oh, I don't have a problem, lah. And then you tell them, do you remember this day, this time, God reveals and says, this time you had a problem with this, you still hold on to the thing. I don't know, I let go already. And a little while later, when you start praying, they will start manifesting, start crying. It because it still touches them in their life. So to be cleansed from that is what Jesus did last week to the leper. Amen? So he cleansed. Number one, we must find a need that we know there's a need in us to go before Christ. And he went before Christ with a hope that he will be healed. He went with faith that surely Jesus can heal. Amen? Amen. So there is a need in our life too. But today I'm going to talk about somebody else. I'm going to talk about some another person today in Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, verse 1 to 20. Can somebody read this? Somebody stand up there and read. Mark chapter 5, verse 1 to 10. Amen. Praise God. You will find in the whole message of this miracle that Jesus did, there is something you would have heard this message again and again. You would have heard different forms of different types of ways of this message that has been looked at. But let's look at one way this today morning. Last week I did tell you that when you have a need, you have to have a need. Last week I did say that we have to have a need. We have to find that need in our life. We have to find that if you want some healing in your life, if you want correction in your life, if you want something to happen in your life, that you want to move forward in life, you must find that need first inside you first. The need is not that I want money, I want this, I want that. No, the need is to see that there's some healing needs to be taking place in your body or in your spiritual realm. First, last week we saw the dent which is left behind, the scar has got to be healed. There was a need that you have to find. The need will lead you to find somebody to keep that need. And you'll find that need will have hope that there's healing. In order to have hope, you must need somebody, you must find somebody new in your life. The new person in your life, the new person in your life will motivate you and keep you that the fire of hope going on. Amen? Inspire with that. The only person who can inspire you is Jesus Christ. Nobody else can inspire you. I can sit down and talk to you and talk to you until cow comes. We cannot inspire you, but only Jesus Christ can inspire you. If you read the message, if you read the word of God, you today found that there's another man who's been healed. The lead, that the relationship you have that comes, that births out of this need, will keep that hope fire going on at all times. And that hope fire that gives away, that will give away a new way of thinking. Our way of thinking will change. We will not be the same. We will not be the same like we were hurt. Last week we just said, oh, those who are hurt, please come and we will be healing them. So if you are hurt last time, you should not be feeling the same way. The thinking will change. I will not be hurt any longer by this dent or this leprosy I had in my life. So that will give you a new life. A new life births a new change in your life, said. You know, I said, today you'll find this man, as Mark in Mark chapter 5, verse 1, it's on that God, Jesus went to a place. This is, you know, the lake of Galilee, such as Gennesaret. You'll find this lake is one to this place called, the name is quite difficult to understand. No, I can't read very well. It's a Hebrew name. The Hebrew name has got a meaning to this name. If you look at Matthew chapter 8, verse 28 onwards, you'll find the same message, the same miracle Jesus did. It says, Gergesenos. That's how you spell it. Gergesenes. That's the same word. The same word means that it's a stranger drawing near. The meaning of that Hebrew word is a stranger drawing near. The one which is in Mark, it said, Garainos. Gerarainos. I really can't pronounce the word, grinos. It means reward at the end. Both the same story, the same incident, but it's the words which you said, same words been mean. This place is actually somewhere south, down south, east where of the Gennesaret Lake. And you see, you always find that we think that Jesus went to the place there, the Gennesaret Lake, and there he ministered to them. No, this has got to go further down a little bit. It's called a small little town called, in the river, called, I wouldn't know how to pronounce this word again. Herome. It's a river called Herome. That's where the river bank is, where this place is. It's a capital city. So when he went to this place, Jesus has gone to this place, you find that one man has come in front of him. This man has got three things that he's got to find out about him. Number one, that when he came out, the word of God says that this man has lost his sanity. Verse 2 to 4, you'll find. He's lost his sanity. The first thing that we find that when we're alive, when we lose our sanity, we do not know directions. When you lose your sanity, a person loses sanity, he loses direction. We might think that Jesus has healed that man there. Today, there are many people who are senseless people, who are people who've got sense. They lose their direction in life. They lose the direction in God. They lose the direction in the way God's word has been taught. They manipulate the word of God to satisfy themselves so that it can please their ears. It is good. Feeling good. Feeling good. No, I know there's music there. Feeling good. Music somewhere in NTV7 last time there. Feeling good or something like that. So we don't want to feel good. That feeling good gospel is not there. But gospel of God is a truth. Amen? Amen? So we have to understand, many of us who have lost directions, people have lost direction, people of today's life that have lost directions of their senses. The senses is there, they have the senses. But this man, as a man, we'll find that he has lost his sanity. Without sanity, not only we lose our directions, we also lose, do not know where, who you are. You can't recognize yourself. Many of us are Christians today in our life, but we don't recognize ourselves who we are in Christ. And the sister was talking about, we are sons and daughters of God, the most powerful God. How many will perceive it? How many will receive it, the word? It becomes a rhema word inside us. It becomes alive. Rhema means come alive, come birthed out, something new birthed out. Is it happening to us? We don't. You know why many of them still come to church and go out of church? And we feel that same stereotype life is happening. Because our sense of direction, sanity, is not only the person who is there, sitting down there. He's got a little bit of sanity, but his sanity, he's lost his sanity. But he's also, many of them till today, are still walking around the world without sanity. Man. Ouch. We pray that will not happen to all of us here. When you lose your sanity, you can't recognize yourself, not only yourself, you cannot recognize people. Have you seen a man who's lost his sanity? You ask him who you are? He'll tell you he's the Prime Minister of this nation. What's your name? My name is Najib. Since when he became Najib? Your name is Murugan. He says, no, my name is Najib. You ask him, what was your name before that? My name was Razak. All the names he can tell you because they've lost their sanity. They've lost who they are. Right? And you stand there, you recognize me. Who are you? I'm your father. Ah, I don't know you. Who are you? I'm your friend. I was with you yesterday. No, I don't know you. You lose the sense of people around you too. How many of us till today not only do not know who we are, but we do not know the people around us? We don't recognize them. We don't fellowship with them. We don't know that our neighbors. How many of us do not know our neighbors? How many of us do not know our neighbors? Can I ask you who is staying next to your right hand side of your house? You know the name of the person? Do you know the person who sits on the left, right hand side? No. Because you don't have a house next on the right hand side. Is that right? You're smart. All right? But if you know the person behind your house, do you know the person? Don't tell me you don't have a house behind your house because my house is an apartment. Do you know somebody in front of your house? Brothers and sisters, what I'm trying to drive this morning is sanity. We say people who are gila there, this man has lost sanity. Many people till today in life are losing sanity because they don't recognize this insanity they are in. Why? We feel that we are living in a world which is fast. Everything that we want is already provided. We don't worry. How many of us feel that way? When a man loses sanity, he does not know himself. Who is he? That is why he continued to sin. That is why he continued to be in the old ways that he was. That is why he can go back and sin and go back and do the things of the past. That is why he can lean back and say, relax, oh, my life. He can live in the past glory. Have you seen a man in sin? He'll tell you, I was here, I traveled here, I traveled there. He would have not even traveled anywhere. Have you heard a man who's in sin? Hello? Am I talking to somebody? Have you seen or heard, speak to a man who's insane? You go to Tanjung Rambutan, you'll find many of them there. You'll find that in a man, he does not have sanity, and he'll talk about as if he was there, traveling somewhere, he found this. He's got so much of imagination. Live in the world of imagination. He doesn't see reality. How many of us don't see reality in life today? How many of us don't see the things that happens in our life, in ourselves today? We don't want to talk about that, you know. Oh, those are sensitive. Pastor, don't talk. Those are sensitive. Those are shut down, locked up in my heart. Don't open it up now. Insanity does not recognize the people around us. You do not know who the people who are with you. Why? Because many of us do not want to recognize because we are walking around because we've got bleepers. Right in front of us, like horses, we have bleepers, and we don't recognize the people around us. We don't see the people around us. Come to church, we don't even recognize the people. How many of us know each other very much? I asked you all the other time the same question. How many of you know your people around you? How many of you really know your children? How many of you really know your parents? How many of you really know the loved ones you have? How many of us really know them? We don't recognize them. Sometimes it's easy to scold my son, but to recognize the things that he does, good things, sometimes difficult. Pride comes over. Right? You've got a pride up here. Where I don't know where it's on my throat, on my mouth, on my head. I don't know. But somewhere there's a pride that you're still better than your son or your children. There are times that we have to recognize people. There are times that we have recognized people that in an office where you're working. There are times that we have recognized people in the church who are doing things that they come and do voluntarily. Some of us have been told 100 times to do something, but some just do voluntarily. They just got a heart to just serve. Amen? Hello? Hello? Am I speaking to you all? So the Satan has robbed his sanity. Satan has robbed his sanity. How many of us allow that sanity of ours to be robbed away from our lives? Because we do not recognize Jesus Christ. The second thing that will happen to this man is he was robbed of not only his sanity, but he was robbed of his self-control. A person who is insane does not have a control of himself. Have you seen that? The Word of God says that nobody can chain him. Even fetters cannot hold him, cannot chain him. He breaks it and comes out. Nobody can control. He has no self-control. He cannot control himself. our life, when we lose self-control, we become a little bit more like the olden days people. I don't want to mention the names of those people, where they do not know, recognize what is good and what is bad. When you lose self-control in our life, we tend to speak things which is not right. How many of us get angry? And then we don't know what we are saying. After that, we sit down and recognize and say, I said this wrong. I said that wrong. Pastor, I'm sorry. I said this. Why do we have that? Because you have lost self-control. When we have self-control, we will not go out to do the thing excessively. The Word of God says, don't drink excessively. Then we'll do excessively drinking. There's no self-control. And this man has no self-control because people chained him so that he doesn't hurt people around. But he breaks his chain and hurts people around. I believe this man was in that place where in the graveyard was. People dare not walk by that place. They dare not walk by. Even they have to walk by in groups so that they can overcome him. How many of us have got a lifestyle that people fear of us? People fear of us. Even to say something to you, they fear. Do you have that kind of lifestyle? When you lose self-control, you implant fear upon other people around you. And this man did that. There was fear in the society there, that nobody dare comes to near him, that he'll hurt people. How many of us hurt others in our life because we lose our self-control? Ponder for a while and you'll find out for ourselves. I did ponder for myself. How many people have I hurt in my life because I lost self-control, especially anger? If the weakness of anger is inside you, you tend to realize and vet through every word that you spoke from your mouth. Was it uplifting or is it bringing down people? Hello? So this man had instilled a fear around the people. Even chains cannot hold him. Self-control. When you are lose self-control, you indulge into the things which are abnormal things. He had power which is abnormal. Can pull out a chain, break the chains. Abnormal things. Is that right? You will do things which are abnormal. That is why Sodom and Gomorrah became a place of curse, because that is the place which they did things which is not normal of God. They did things abnormal. And it was really bone-chilling to me yesterday when I read a small article about people are recognizing the people who live abnormally in this world. Sexually abnormal. Are we trying to recognize them? Are we going to recognize them and say, there is a problem, let's admit and see the problem and address the problem, or are we going to recognize, continue doing what you are doing? I've said this in my counseling. If a person is a lesbian or a gay, there is something wrong with the family. There is no father's love or mother's love. You go back to the root of the problem. Address the problem. Take it out. The person can be normal. Amen? Amen? And I think Brother Brian was with me in Indonesia. The person came in straight away. I said, you have lost your father's love. And your way of lifestyle is different. He admitted, he cried. Because God wants to deal with that actual problem. Go back to the root. Do not encourage them to do the things. It's abnormal. God says here, in the Bible says that people who are doing fornication, people who are doing things which is not right. Same sex. It's not right. It's abnormal. They will not go enter the kingdom of God. They will not enter into heaven. Are we going to encourage them? So when you lose self-control, you tend to do things which are abnormal against the will of God, against the will of yourself. There is an emptiness in life. Let's address that emptiness. Amen? Let's address the emptiness. And when we have addressed that emptiness, the person can be changed. We believe people can be changed. Because whoever has come to Christ Jesus has never been turned down. Amen? So when you lose control, you cannot be sober. That is why sometimes people are not sober. They're hyper all the time. They're so excited about the things. When you lose self-control, you're never sober. You'll never think rationally. When you lose self-control, you never think things which is right in your mind. So when a man has been robbed of his self-control by the demon, that's what the demons did to him, that this was robbed and ways were thought differently, so he acted abnormal. He acted very cruelly sometimes to people. So people had fear of him. Let's look at ourselves first. Do we encourage these things I said just now? Have we in our life instilled fear that people cannot approach you? Are we unapproachable? Nobody approached this man. Nobody dare approach this man. In the town where he lived, nobody dare approach this man. Because they know this man has lost his self-control. The third thing this man has robbed of is he's been robbed of self-respect. He has no respect for himself. The word of God says he was naked. He was naked. He will do anything he wants. No respect for himself. When you lose respect of yourself, you will think very least of yourself. And that will indulge you into so many things which is not right. He lost his self-respect. When he loses self-respect, he behaves differently. When you have respect for yourself, you will behave differently. When you lose your self-respect, you are a goner. You will say, yes, everything is gone in my life. And you'll say, no, the best is to die. When you lose self-respect, anything goes in the world. How many of us? Or do we have somebody whom we know who've lost their self-respect? Brothers and sisters, the main three pertinent things. He was robbed of his sanity. He was robbed of his self-control. He was robbed of his self-respect. So he behaved like the way he behaved. He behaved the way he behaved, the way in that place where a tomb was. But somehow or other, the most important part, he had an encounter. Aha. That's the best part of it. The word of God says, as Jesus went into the place, and when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. Amen. Even the demons inside him worshipped Jesus Christ. Even if you don't want to worship Jesus Christ, the demons are fearful of Christ Jesus. There was a recognition that God knows this man and that God recognizes him as his image. So when he sees that child of his right in front of him, there was an encounter. Encounter not only just to see the person and run away, but there was an encounter of recognizing each other. Jesus recognized him. And the demons inside him recognized him. There was a recognition. There was an encounter. And this encounter has got to happen in our life. There has to be a desire to have an encounter. There should be a desire in our life that urgently, Lord, I want to have an encounter with you. I want to have an encounter with you. That everything that is inside me, everything that has been robbed of me in my life by the demons can be taken back again. That encounter is what we want. That encounter is what we seek. That encounter is what we want in our life. That is our paramount focus. God, I want to have that encounter. That everything inside me will be loose. Amen. Amen. When you have that encounter, there has to be a change. To have that encounter, you must have a hope to see that encounter. That Jesus is the hope before you. That encounter I'm going to have is not with a man or a woman, but encounter with a God. Excuse me. Who so loved me that he died on the cross for me. A God who came and he is willing to partake his life to me. He's willing to give everything of himself for my sake. That encounter. The desire for that encounter is important in our life. Some people come here and they pray and they say, Pastor, I don't have anything. I don't see anything. I don't get anything. I see you all praying, but I don't get anything. But I surely tell you this. If there was a desire that you want to have an encounter with God, you would have met him the last 3 days. The 3 nights would have been an encounter. Some had an encounter. On Friday night, if I'm not mistaken, is it Friday night? Yeah, Friday night. We had an encounter. The glory of God was here. I saw his throne room established on the seat here. I had Pastor Matthew with me that night. God gave me a word for Matthew and also Brother O'Neill that night. That's an encounter. Always desire, God, I'm nobody, but you, only when I see you, I know, recognize myself, I'm somebody with you. The world can condemn you for who you are, but this God will not condemn you. People who know you will condemn you, insane man, without self-control, no self-respect. But this Christ Jesus recognizes you. When you have this encounter with him, God, with this God of ours, the mighty God of ours, and I know your life will never be the same again. Your life will never be the same again. There has to be that encounter. We can go on and go on in our life, continue saying, I'm Christian, but I'm not seeing that light in light guide. God, you are feeling the touch. You're losing the sense. Let's look at ourselves first. Am I behaving? Am I, James, am I behaving the way this man who was at this place, godliness, was? Am I behaving like him? Is there anywhere that I equal to him? If so, I must have a change. I must have this encounter with God. I must have this encounter with Christ Jesus that he can touch me. And that forth, that hope that comes in my life, or your life, brothers and sisters, that hope that gives you that encounter will change your life. That hope that gives you that encounter will change the thinking that we have now. A change does not happen if there is no hope, if there is no faith. A change does not happen if there is no change in thinking, first of all. Our thoughts must be changed. We cannot say, I'm changed. How can you change when your thoughts are still the old ways? Your waveline is the same. There's no change. Everything that your soul thinks, that everything that your soul desires and has not changed, the body will not change. The body has got to change. The only way the body can change is to let the Spirit of God come and touch your spirit and spirit take control, not the soul. Amen. Amen. If the soul can say, thoughts, life, the spirit take control, now come down. No more thoughts of this. Change. Then only our life can be changed. Amen? Praise God. So we have to have that encounter. This encounter this man had, he had an encounter not only that he come and worshipped him. You see that he worshipped. He came and worshipped. Worshipping is one of the things that we have an encounter with God. Without worship, we can't encounter with God. You can't expect like, you know what, Saul had this encounter with God, Jesus Christ, on the way to Damascus. We want to have an encounter like that. 3 weeks ago, I don't know how many months or a week ago, I don't know, I remember preaching about coming out of the caves. Have you all heard the message? We don't want to have that encounter like Elijah was running for that same kind of experience that Moses had in the mount. We don't want to have the same. God speaks to us differently. I'm dark. Moses would have been fair. If I want to have Moses' experience, I have to become fair first. I have to become his size first. So let's not have an encounter with God the way others had. Let's look at an encounter. God will give you a fresh encounter with us. Worship him. Unless we worship him in spirit and in truth, we will not be able to have that encounter. Saul's encounter was different. God has a purpose for Saul to become Paul so that he can be a great man the apostle that God himself appointed. There has to be a change in his life. Thinking was changed. Mindset was changed. In the book of Acts chapter 9, you'll find that he had an encounter. But we are not going to have that kind of encounter. We're going to have a different encounter. Because our encounter is fresh. Amen? Amen? So we have to have an encounter. So don't look for an encounter of somebody else. Oh, Pastor James had an encounter like this. Oh, this man has had an encounter like this. Oh, that man has had an encounter like this. This woman had an encounter like that. I also want to have that kind of encounter. Don't look for somebody else's encounter. Look for an encounter that is fresh for you, only for you, which is imprinted by Christ Jesus, only for you. Nobody can break that seal like your finger tampering. There's only one. Nobody else can break it. This code cannot be broken. Only one kind in the world. How many billions have lived before? There's only one kind here. So God is a God who will give us an encounter which is different from others' encounter. Worshipping. How do you worship? Only come and worship in God? Just sing song? No. Worship Him in our life. Worship Him in our daily life. Worship Him in the things that we do. Worship Him in the things that we are about to do in our lives. Worship Him with our family. Worship Him with our family. I wrote a small article yesterday, last night, after God has given me that marriages are being, families are being touched. Read in the bulletin. Is your church, your house church, is a house church or not? Philemon had a church in the house. So let's encounter God differently. Amen? Let's see God the way that He wants us to see Him. Not the way that we are. The encounter this man had, not only had he worshipped, he cried out loud with a voice, "What have you to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High?" So Satan recognized who Jesus was. Do you and I recognize Jesus, who He is to us in our life? Is He so personalized in our life? Is He so personal in our life? God says, there shall be no other person's relationship in my life except for Him first. Is our intimacy with Him so personal that you can recognize Him anywhere you want to see? You can hear Him. You can see Him. You know that's His voice. That's why He said, "My sheep shall hear My voice." Amen? His sheep will hear His voice. If you recognize His voice, you will know He is. How intimate it is. And this man's, the demons, worshipped Him and recognized Him. "You are the Son of God. What have you got with me?" said the demon. "Have you come to torment me?" He knows the judgmental power Jesus has got in His hands. Hello, do you realize that? By that one word, one sentence, you know the power of Christ Jesus. You know the authority of Christ Jesus. You know who Christ Jesus is, Son of God. And all authority has been given Him to torture, to judge. Demons recognize that. No man has to be a testimony. John the Baptist don't have to be a testimony. Demons know, because they are in the spiritual world. They recognize who Jesus is. Do we recognize Jesus even greater than what the demons recognized? Ponder for ourselves and find out we have that kind of recognition of Christ Jesus. If we have, our families will have a great time in worshiping together at home. Amen? We will have a great time seeing that families will be able to do things. So we decided in our church that our Bible study once a month, we will move from one house to another house. If it's a family, we'll come and visit you. So we'll just call you and tell you, "I'm coming to your house, and we're going to have a Bible study in your house." You don't have to gather anybody. We'll just come and have the Bible study in the house, and we'll bless the house and bless the family, so the children and the family will be together blessed. Amen? Amen? So that the word of God is broken in the house. So the word of God and the spirit of God moves mightily in the house. Amen? We want to see Amazing Grace people to rise up mightily. Not to be just sitting down. We want to see that fivefold ministry to work here. We want to see the great people to see rise up here in this place. Amen? Amen. So that is the reason why we are having this series. That looking up to heaven, looking up to Jesus, then our life can be changed. He is the life changer. Amen? He's the life changer for us. So when he had recognized him, he has come out. Immediately Jesus recognized the unclean spirit that is inside him, inside this man. Jesus said, "Come out, you unclean spirit." Only Jesus can recognize what is clean and unclean spirit. But Jesus has given us the authority and given us the power. He has given us the Holy Spirit inside us to recognize the spirit that is around us. That's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Discernment of spirits. How many of you know the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit? Don't check to turn to Corinthians. How many of you know the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit? Number 1. Anyone? Love, joy, peace. That's all the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Number 1. Anyone? If you lack something, James says, you ask of it, God will give you freely. Wisdom. Number 2. Knowledge. Word of knowledge. Number 3. Understanding of what? Word of knowledge is understanding. Discernment of spirits. Prophecies. Faith is a gift of the Holy Spirit. Healing is a gift of the Holy Spirit. Right? Signs and wonders is a gift of the Holy Spirit. Speaking in tongues is a gift of the Holy Spirit. Interpretation of the tongues that you speak, interpreting it, is also the gift of the Holy Spirit. You count as 9 altogether. Wisdom, prophecies, faith, discernment of spirits. So one of the gifts is discernment of spirits. So Jesus had discerned the spirit, what kind of spirit that is, whether it's clean or unclean. Only one spirit is clean, that is the Holy Spirit. No other spirit is clean. Only the Holy Spirit is clean. If Holy Spirit resides in you, he will say, yes, this is clean. But he said, no. This unclean spirit. So Jesus could recognize what is wrong in us. Jesus is the only one who can recognize what is wrong in us. That is why he said that when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and when he lives inside you, he will give you that unction to function, that they're able to see what is right and what is wrong, that you will be able to see and have the unction not to work in the things of the evil one. If you want to sin, he will say, ouch, don't sin. Don't go there. You know that way is not right way. Go this way. You know you always like to drink too much. Don't go to the pub. Okay, go inside. Right? Oh, all the time I used to smoke cigars or cigarettes. Oh, don't go that side. That is the Holy Spirit's unction to function inside you. To rebuke. To give you the senses not to do the things which is against God. Against the temple of God. Amen? Amen? So, was able to recognize. Jesus was able to recognize. And when he recognized that, he knows this clean spirit is unclean. And he has to discern the spirit. And he said, get out. And Jesus, not that he does not know. Many people say, how come Jesus don't know God legion inside? He said, Jesus is God what? He knows. Why does he say that? See, many of them ask, you know, why Jesus has got to ask the spirit, why is it? There's only one place he asked the spirit. He's never asked anywhere else in the gospel. He says, what is your name? Who are you? They said, legions. To prove to the people who are around him, that the disciples around him, the people around him, that not one demon is inside him, there are many demons inside him. And he's saying this because, so the people understand, in one man, there can live thousands of spirit inside you. Oh. Let's go and look at the mirror. I want to see a mirror. How many inside me now? As I said just now, the 3 things. The man lost his what? He was robbed of sanity. He was robbed of what? So the way we behave in our life are demonic powers in our life. They robbed it off from you. We are made to be perfect in Christ Jesus. And what they do is they rob off those things. And they imitate you and say it is right. And that's the way you should behave. If anger is the one cannot control, then you have to ask God, the demon of anger, get out of me. The way he behaved, that's thousands of demons inside. How many thousand? 2,000. No, more than that, brother. And there were 2,000 pigs. All of them rushed into that pigs. And that pigs could not stand because too many spirits was getting into him. And they have to kill themselves. So when Jesus recognized, the reason why he wanted to show you is that many of us live that we think that, oh, we've got only one demon inside us sometimes. There are many demons. If there's a demon of lies, get the demon of lies out of our minds, our lips. Demon of deception. Hello? Can I name some more? Demon of evil thoughts. Demon of anger, jealousy. All these are powers which is not right. So we have to have ourselves to let Jesus recognize, the Holy Spirit recognize, aha, James, you are being jealous about this man. Huh? He's got more anointing than you are. Ah, immediately must touch your heart. Say, Lord, I'm sorry, Lord, if I have that. I repent of this. Amen? Get out. James, you've got pride in you. Or just because you've got a nice shirt, let you're proud. Lah. No. Immediately get out. Pride, get out of me in Jesus' name. Brothers and sisters, the man behaved the way he was. It's because of so many things inside him. How many of us behave? Let's check our characters. Check our lives. And see how do we behave. In our family, outside of the family. You know, there are two rules in a family. Sometimes, you know, we have got two faces sometimes. I've said this sometimes, so I think so when we're talking about anger. One mask we wear at home, another mask outside. When I talk to the wife, you know, Pastor, you don't know my husband. He's so difficult at home. But when he see outside, so sweet to everybody of them. Everyone will melt in front of them. Nobody can find fault in him. In my house, he's there. Oh, I cannot lie. I cannot say. You meet the wife, the husband says, Pastor, you don't know la, Pastor. You must live with my wife and my family and see how. My wife, outside only looks very nice, very holy, holy, you know, come to church. But inside the house, I cannot stand. It's the same story. You must listen to the children. The children have got another story, you know. Right? Which I won't tell you some more. See, everyone has got a story of each one of them. Why we wear different masks for different people. We see a rich man, I wear different mask. Ah, very nice. A poor man, right? And then we see people other side, want to be nice, Mr. Nice, or Miss Nice. But at home, you're a terror. We've got two characters sometimes. Find out which demon is working in you first. Cast it out. Ask Jesus. Jesus, take it out today. Get out! I will have only one mask. That's the fearless mask that Jesus Christ is with me. And I shall walk righteously from now on. Because God will not allow me to sin. God will not allow me to fall. Amen? Amen? Praise God. So when he recognized this man, when he recognized, Jesus said, how many? It's a legion. And the legion begged him not to cast him out into that place. When you read further, brother, until verse 20, right? Verse 10, he stopped at. He begged him earnestly that he would not send him out of the country. Now a large herd of swine was feeding there and near the mountains. So all the demons begged him, saying, send us to the swine that we may enter them. And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. So those who fed the swine fled, they told it to the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that had happened. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon possessed, had the legion, sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who saw it told them how it happened to him who had been demon possessed and about the swine. Then they begged to plead with him to depart from their region. And when he got into the boat, he who had been demon possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. Amen. Number one, you'll find when Jesus touched him, when Jesus was able to cast out, speak to him, when he had an encounter, there was a change in him. Amen. Was there a change? The people around him saw him seated, clothed now, no more now. Self-respect lost, now restored again. Self-respect was restored. Sanity was restored. Hello? Do you remember that? Just now I talked to you about sanity. He had no sanity. His sanity was robbed. He was sanity. He was sane and sitting down. Right? His self-control is no longer under binding of anything. He's sitting down nicely with clothes. Self-respect. Restoration took place when he had an encounter with Christ Jesus. If you don't have an encounter with Christ Jesus, there will not be restoration. A total restoration, a reformation took place. It's not about flicking a flag out there and saying reformacy, but it's a reformation of your internal self, your thought life, and everything totally changes in your life. This man had the need. It was the timing was right. The people around him changed. Hello? You see that people around him changed. They were fearful. And not only the people around him changed, the society in Decapolis changed. What is the meaning of Decapolis? Many cities. Many cities around that area where Jesus never went entirely changed. He only visited one city, one town at a bank. And now the entire city, everyone know about Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, when Christ touches us, when we have an encounter, our life will change. Our hope will be redefined. There is hope in our life now. This man had hope now that he can have a good life. This man has got a hope that he can have a decent family. He has got a hope now that he can go and live a normal life like any other person in the city. He had faith that Christ will be with him all the time. He wanted to follow him, be with him all the time. And Jesus says, no, go back and do your work. Unless and until he went back to the same town, Decapolis will never be changed. Because he went into that small little town back again, Decapolis was changed. People heard about Jesus Christ. Unless and until you have an encounter with Christ Jesus, the change will not take place. Let's look at whether we are still living in the same man who was madman, or a man who has lost his sanity, robbed of his sanity. Do we live like that? Brothers and sisters, when there is hope, God has given us hope, Jesus has given us hope, our life should change. Our thinking should change. Our lifestyle should change. Our pattern of life should change. If we've been doing this all the time, change it from there. If we don't change, our life will be condemned. I don't like to use the word condemned, but I have to tell you today, that's the truth. Check the word of God. He says it very clearly. These people will not enter the kingdom of God, will not enter heaven to eternal life. Let us not encourage people to be in sin. Let's not encourage people to be who are robbed away of their sanity, who are robbed away of their self-respect, robbed away of their dignity. And now we still encourage them to be where they are. No, Jesus did not encourage him to be in the tomb area. He asked him to get out of the place. Jesus is calling us today. If some of you have got the same problems in our life, if some of you still have not healed yourself from that leprosy, the scars of leprosy, you can still come forth today. If some of us today here want to change our life, if our life pattern, you can hide from every one of us. And I think my church members know everything of my bad things. I've spoken it out here. I'm not ashamed of it. Because God has healed me. If you're still scared and continue to be worrying the things secretly, I want to tell you this. What you do in secret will be exposed one day very soon. When it's exposed, you will not be able to meet that kind of pressure you're going to have. You might not be able to take that pressure. And I pray today, if you need healing in areas that if your sanity was taken away, because your sanity was taken away. You're robbed of your sanity. Or you are robbed of your self-control, robbed of your self-respect. Let's not stay where we are. Let's move on. Seek the healer. He will heal you and set you free. Surely you shall set you free today. When you ask of him, have that encounter. When he sets you free, surely you'll be free. Amen? Amen? There's no way of holding it back. If you are still hurt, you did not come forth last week and say, yes, I have a need. Recognize the need that you are hurt in life. Recognize that there's a damage done in your life. Change the mindset. And today, recognize that you are living sometimes insanely. That our sanity, without a sanity, we cannot be before God. God can restore back. God can put back everything in our life. As he touched this man, so would he touch you today. Amen.